What does a brand name or logo of the brand suggest to us? There are some logos, brand logos that are found on the internet. When you look at those names, what does those things suggest to you?
Money?
Money? Well, that's true. Yeah. You know a few of them? Yeah? You know, some of them are very well known. Some of them are not so well known for us. I think it's a picture from the US. But if you look at it, some of them stand for quality, doesn't it? Some of those brands really stand out as being a prestigious brand, a brand that you'd recognize straight away, and things that you would actually buy from them because you trust them, isn't it? A brand name is more than just a name, isn't it? It actually conveys something of the manufacturer. It tells us that the manufacturer is trustworthy because that brand name is associated with a quality product. It serves to bring praise to the manufacturer, doesn't it? When you see a product with that logo or that brand name on it, you think that manufacturer, that company has some good stuff. So maybe I'll buy it. Maybe this product will be good for me too. We trust certain brands to give us products that is good and of good quality, and that will last the distance, that it will last the test of time. But when it comes to people, can we ever be certain of the quality of the person? Can we ever be certain that they will last the distance? Especially when we reflect on ourselves, can we trust that we can endure this life, especially with all the hard things that's going on in this life, to last the distance, to get to the end? What assurance do we have that we can last until the coming of our Lord? You know, life can be pretty awful at times. Sometimes it feels like that everything is against us. And whether we suffered in the past or whether we are going through suffering right now, we have all experienced hardships in life, haven't we? We have all experienced things that really test us, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. It is at times like this that we want to know that we can win in the end. We want the assurance that we can endure till the end. And from today's passage, there are three reasons why we have assurance that we will last the distance. There are three things I can say from today's passage that enables us and empowers us to say that we will last the distance. You know, when I was looking for a lawnmower to buy last year, because the lawn was getting long and it was too much of a hassle to borrow a lawnmower, I thought maybe I should go and buy a lawnmower. And I had experience with one of these before. Do you know what that is? It's very hard to see the name, the brand on it. But the brand name on the bottom is actually Talon. Two-stroke. You know that it's not a good brand when the first time you buy it, and the first time you actually start it, doesn't start. When a brand new mower was needed at home, I thought, I'll go with a brand that is trusted. I'll go with a brand that is known for its quality and a brand that is known for lasting a long time. That's right. And so I went and bought a Victor. Not the exact same model, but a slightly cheaper one. But a brand like Victor is different, isn't it? It's a different story to a Talon. When you see the name Victor on the lawnmower, what do you see? Quality. You see something that will last forever. Well, not forever, but last pretty much a long time, right? And my personal experience is that it starts the first time every time. For the past year, every time I go to study once a month, it starts. Once a month. It's been winter, so the grass hasn't been growing. And I'm sure when the company puts that brand name, when Victor puts that brand name on that mower, they think, this is quality stuff. I can stand by it. We can stand by this mower. This is a mower that we are proud to put out there and will bring praise to us and especially money into the company. In a similar way, did you know that we have been branded by God? Have a look at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. Jesus is a precious son of God. He is the living stone. Yet he was chosen before creation to die in our place. It is through Jesus that we have become a new creation of God. Which means he is the brand. He is a brand name. His name is a brand name that has been placed on our hearts. If God had placed such a precious name on us to mark his workmanship, what does that say about us? You know, Victor's name conveys a clear message. And Christ's name conveys a clear message as well. And it's his name that is branded on our hearts. What does that say about us? You know, if you saw a car with this look, if you saw a car with that brand, what would you say? Recall. Very good. You wouldn't feel very happy about the quality or maybe its longevity or maybe even its safety. But if you saw a car with this brand on it, what would you think about it? Expensive, but somebody else's. But you're getting what you're paying for, aren't you? You're getting quality for that brand. Not always, but in general, in the car market, I suppose, you do see that brand name, that logo, and think, that's a quality car. If I can afford to get it, I will buy it. Isn't that what we usually think?
Endurance
as well. It lasts for a long time. The brand name represents the worth and workmanship of the car, doesn't it? When you see the Great Wall against a Mercedes-Benz, which one would you choose? You know, you lean that way more than the other way. So if we are branded by it by Christ's name, then what does that say about our worth and workmanship? If God was pleased to have the name of his precious Son branded on us, then is there any test or trial that we will fail to overcome? Just as a Mercedes-Benz will pass a lot of road tests, a lot of safety tests, and a lot of tests that is endurance over time. If we are branded by the name of Christ, what does that suggest about our endurance, our worth, the workmanship? Is there any tests or trials or hardships in this life that we can't overcome? Is there anything that will suggest that is too hard for us to overcome? What's more, our quality is not determined by our own efforts, is it? God is the one who builds us up and puts his stamp of approval on us. He is the master builder. Have a look at verse 5. Oops. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The first thing we can notice about the quality of the spiritual house is the material that is used to make it, isn't it? The material that is being used to build the spiritual house of God. Peter refers to every believer as the living stone. Living stones. Just as Jesus is the living stone in verse 4, we too are called living stones. That is, through Christ, we are no longer dead to sin. We are living because we have been forgiven and redeemed. The precious blood of Christ had paid our debt in full. That is why we are worthy to be used by God to build his spiritual house, his temple. It's not because we are worthy, but it's because Jesus has made us worthy. It is because of Jesus' blood that we have been transformed into living stones. And that is what God is using to build his house. Which leads us to the second thing we notice from this verse. It is God who is building his spiritual house, isn't it? It is not like the bricks are throwing themselves on a heap to come up with a building. It is God himself who is taking each brick and laying them side by side to form a house. God is a master builder who is carefully crafting us into a spiritual house for his holy purpose. And considering God had created the heavens and the earth, considering that he is the creator of all things, will God make any mistake in building his house? Will he allow a tainted brick to get into in the mix of things? No, there is absolutely nothing that can get past God, is there? As the master builder and the God who has absolute authority and sovereignty, his quality control cannot be doubted. If that is the case, then should we doubt whether we will pass the final test? We are living stones. Peter calls us that we are currently now, at this moment, living stones. If that is the case, what does that say about the quality of us as being the materials being used for God's holy purpose? We are fit for purpose. God is saying, you are fit for purpose. That you, through the blood of Christ, are being used to build his house. Even though life can get very hard, even though it feels like we are being chipped here and there, even though we feel like the brick that we are, the living stone that we are, is tainted by sin, by the hardships of life, by the suffering that we go through, God is still saying, you are worthy to be built up into your house, into his house. So is there any good reason for us to doubt that we won't pass the test? No, we will pass the test of this life because we are the workmanship of God. It is not us. It is not by our own effort that we are being built up. It is not by our own actions that we are making ourselves into the house of God. It is God himself who is building us up. It is God himself who is working in us to make his house. God has placed his brand name, Jesus Christ, on us to guarantee the quality of his work. Now the third reason why we can have assurance to overcome hardships in this life and last the distance, to endure till the end, is because Jesus is our cornerstone. Let's read verse 6 to 8 again. Verse 6. For in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious stone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and the stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Peter quotes Isaiah 28, chapter 28, verse 16, when he refers to Jesus as the cornerstone. And the thing about the Isaiah passage is that it's a message about judgment as well. So we'll talk about that a bit later. But there are three things that I can see from here. Three things about Jesus as the cornerstone that we can see from these verses. There are three things that we need to understand about Jesus being the cornerstone. Firstly, Jesus as the cornerstone is the most important stone in constructing God's spiritual house. You know, a cornerstone is prominent because it is the first stone that is laid in the foundation. It is the first stone that is laid. So by how it's laid, it will determine which direction the house will be built. It's the first stone that is laid which will determine how every other stone, every other brick will be stacked up. From the cornerstone, all the other bricks are laid. He is the one who sets us an example to follow. He starts it off and we are to follow suit. And because he is God's chosen precious stone, all other stones set against him will be perfectly laid. It won't be crooked because Jesus is perfect. And all the other bricks that are stacked up against him, flush against him, will be perfect and aligned. And Jesus, just as in bricklaying, the first stone that is laid will be a reference point for every other stones to build a wall. It actually sets a direction and sets the height. Jesus is our reference point in building up the house, isn't it? He is the first stone that is laid, and because through his example, we too are being built up. That is why we can have assurance we will overcome our present suffering and won't be shamed, because Jesus is the reason that we will be built up perfectly. Secondly, Jesus is the stone this world has rejected as worthless. Have a look at verse 7. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. For us who believe in Jesus, he is our precious stone. But for the world, he is worthless. This world with its wisdom has measured and tested Jesus and found him to be at fault, that there is false in him. The people of this world think of themselves as their own master builders. They think of themselves as builders of their own lives. They have their own standards and their own way of doing things. They make their own choices of what materials to use and what they consider to be precious in building their own lives. You know, some have decided to use money as their bricks to build up their houses. Some have decided to use prestige, education, careers, relationships, whatever materials. Whatever things that people put their faith in is the material that they're using to build up their own house. But to them, Jesus just doesn't quite make the cut, does he? To the world, Jesus is a stone that is to be rejected because it just doesn't fit into the house model. He just doesn't fit into what they want to build up. That is why people reject Jesus. He is not what they are looking for. So is it any wonder then why people reject us as being Christians, as people who are branded by his name? When they see the name Jesus, and when they see the name Christ, they associate it with a bad product. They associate the name with something that they cannot trust. They mock us for desiring to live godly lives. So it is getting harder and harder every day to be holy in a world that constantly flaunts its sinfulness. The world sets up its own standards and calls us bigots for not complying to their standards. They call us ignorant. They call us intolerant for not following suit to their sinfulness, to what they think is right. They want us to bless their life choices, but reject our life choice to be godly, to follow the instructions of God. If they have rejected Jesus as the cornerstone, then what would stop them from throwing out the rest of God's household? But to us, Jesus is our cornerstone, no matter what the world says. He is the reason that we can endure. Even though the world may persecute us, we are still built up on a sure foundation that is of Jesus. Finally, Jesus is the stone that causes unbelievers to stumble. Let's read verse 8 again. A stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall, they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Rejecting Jesus as a cornerstone will have consequences, not just in this life, but eternity as well. Peter quotes Isaiah 8, chapter 8, verse 14 here in verse 8. And the context of Isaiah 8 is that of judgment. It is the judgment of God upon Israel for turning to other gods, to turning to other idols, instead of turning to him for rescue. Likewise here in 1 Peter, Jesus is the stone that causes unbelievers to stumble. When people fail to hear and obey the gospel, when they fail to see and hear that Jesus is the only way, the judgment of Jesus is upon them. For after rejecting Jesus, there really is nowhere else to go. Jesus is the only way that we can gain redemption. And if we reject the only way, what else is left for us? Only judgment is left. So if Jesus is not the cornerstone of your life, of our life, then he is our judgment stone. In the Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 2, we read of King Nebuchadnezzar and his dream. Do you remember that story? Okay, and he dreamed up of this big statue. The statue of the head was made of gold, the torso made of silver. I think the legs, the hips around, the waist was of bronze. The upper legs were, the legs, upper legs were bronze. The lower legs were made of iron, and the foot was like a mix of iron and clay. I think that's how it goes. Yeah. But the thing about that statue is that a rock comes flying from nowhere and striking the statue, and the statue is broken into pieces. And the thing about that rock is that it is not made by any man. Okay, it's not a man-made stone. But when it comes, he crushes the big statue, the really awesome looking statue, and the rock grows to fill the whole earth. It's a sign of judgment. It's a sign of God's judgment on the nations as he establishes his own eternal kingdom. Daniel shows that in due time that kingdoms will fall and be replaced by God's eternal kingdom. And likewise, if we don't believe in Jesus and enter his kingdom by faith, we can only expect judgment. Unless we obey the gospel and trust in Jesus, we can only expect God's coming judgment. That is why Jesus is the stone that causes men to stumble. He is the judgment stone that makes people, that judges people who reject him. Just like the stone that crushed the statue, Jesus is the stone, the judgment stone that will come and crush all his enemies. So having Jesus as a cornerstone means our eternal future is secure, isn't it? He is the cornerstone that will hold us up until the end. Jesus is the reason that we can stand together as God's spiritual house and fulfill its spiritual function. But when we are persecuted and rejected by this world, when the temptation to give in to their sinfulness becomes great, we must remember that the way of the world is the way of judgment. Their end is at the hands of Jesus. No matter how just or right this world makes itself out to be, apart from Jesus, there is only destruction. That is why we should endure ridicule from this world. We should endure the persecution that comes from this world. Even when we're called bigots and hypocrites, we must hold firm to the truth of God's instruction, his word. For in the end, we, the believers, the living stones that is being built up into the house of God, we will be vindicated and we will not be put to shame for our faith. The Christian brand is the best brand in the world, in all creation. It is the best because it is God's workmanship. It's his creation. But no matter how great a brand name may be, if the product does not really reflect the quality or its purpose, then the name means nothing, doesn't it? Take the car brand, Toyota, for example. For years, Toyota has been associated with quality, endurance. It's known for its value for money. But the recent spate of recalls that has been plaguing the company has tarnished their reputation a bit, hasn't it? You know, just the other day, they recalled 300,000 cars because they had a faulty window thing, switch, that can actually catch fire. Doesn't give much confidence to the brand, does it? In the same way, how we live will reflect upon God. We have been branded as God's brand. We have been branded with the name of Jesus. How we endure suffering and hardships as God's chosen people will reflect the quality of the Christian brand name. And as Christians, we are called to fulfill two functions from today's passage. In verse 5, Peter writes, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now the first thing here is that we must see that Jesus is the only way that our spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God. However, this does not mean that we must neglect fulfilling our function as the holy priesthood. The main focus of our lives must be on God. We serve God as his chosen people. As God's workmanship, we fulfill his purpose in life. We are to do what pleases him and offer to him what he desires from us. This means that we cannot let go of our holiness and offering spiritual sacrifices because life gets in the way. Just because life gets too tough, just because we are persecuted too much, we are called to be the holy priesthood. That carries a lot of weight. That carries a lot of responsibility on us. Not only are we to hold on to our holiness, we are to actually call out the sinfulness of the world. That's what the Old Testament priests were supposed to do. They were supposed to set the standard for holiness, to represent the people. But not only that, but to actually tell them, to instruct the people that they're living in sin. And that is the function we are to fulfill as the priesthood of God. Not only are we to maintain our holiness so that we are pleasing to God, but we also must make sure that we tell the world that they're continuing in their sinfulness as well. But our primary function is to worship and serve God, which means we should not let the worries of this life take away our focus on God. Suffering in this life can be hard, but part of believing in God is to trust Him. When we suffer, where should our focus be? When we go through hardships, where should our focus be? Not on the immediate suffering that we are going through. It should always be on God, and how we suffer those things will ultimately bring glory to Him. And not only are we called to be the priesthood, but we are called to proclaim the praises of God in the world. Have a look at verse 9 to 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You know, as God's chosen people, as His spiritual house, and His royal priesthood, our function in the world is to declare the praises of God who had rescued us. Even when we are suffering, we should be praising God. Even when we are going through hardships, when we are persecuted, are we actually saying, God be praised? Are we actually saying to God, to everyone else around us, let God be praised? It's hard, but where is our focus in suffering? Is it on the glory of God, or on the hardship, the short-term suffering that we're going through right now? We are to promote God's brand in this world. We are to show the world that God's brand is the best. For only the people belonging to His brand have been brought out of darkness. Only the chosen people have received mercy. And so by our spiritual sacrifices and our declaration of the gospel, we witness to the quality of God's brand, of His workmanship. If we are not fulfilling those purposes, if we are not fulfilling those functions, then what are we saying about God's brand? God has called us to be holy in every life situations, good and bad. Even when things get tough in life, we are called to hang in there. And part of hanging in there is to look back on what we have become in Christ. We have been branded by the great and eternal name of Jesus. His name testifies not only to our redemption, but to God's workmanship in making us like Christ. Therefore, let's continue to consider how we may declare the praises of God, how we may give glory to God's workmanship in our lives. Let's continue to testify how precious and essential Jesus is as our cornerstone. For He is the rock on which we stand. He is our firm foundation, and who will not let us fall or fail. So let us continue to trust in Him and declare His praises in our lives, because that is what we are being built up to do, to declare the praises of God who has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that He is your cornerstone, your precious stone, through whom we are being built up. Lord, we pray that as we come before Him, and as we come before You, that our lives will truly reflect Your glory, Your workmanship, that we can endure hardships in life, that we will not let go of our holiness in this life. We pray, Lord, that You will continue to be with us and continue to instruct us through Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.